You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. A little later on in the show, Gab Marcotti will be here, as will Frank and Don, to reflect on what was a very disappointing defeat for Arsenal. We'll start, though, in Italy. Juventus taking on Hellas Verona. Remember, still no Cristiano Ronaldo for this tie. And 4 minutes before the break, Juve looking to make the breakthrough. Cuadrado off the crossbar.
Beautiful ball by Aaron Ramsey, sitting perfectly for Juan Cuadrado. Clean contact, but off the post and out.
Moments later, Juve thought that they had taken the lead. Cuadrado involved once again, playing it into Alvaro Morata. He scores. He's offside.
It's a confident finish by Alvaro Morata. Good ball by Juan Cuadrado. It all starts with a tackle by Adrian Rabiot. So everything is great for Juventus, other than the fact that, oh my goodness, Alvaro Morata is fractionally offside. And by fractionally, I mean by his left kneecap, he's offside. However, it's a good call by VAR. Goal disallowed.
So goalless as we take it into the second half. And we head straight into the 59th minute, where Andrea Favilli would score the opener for Verona.
It's a turnover in a bad area by Bernardeschi. Puts Verona into a counter-attacking position. Good ball into the box. Free run by Favilli and nice finish.
Dybala would spend a lot of the time in this game on the floor. When he stayed on his feet, he had a chance here off the crossbar.
This is the old double deflection. Paolo Dybala from the defender onto the post and out.
Kulusevski, introduced in the second half, was by far Juve's best player and would get the equaliser here.
And he had the defender dancing inside, outside, inside, and outside again, and inside again, and eventually creates enough space for himself. Nice little finish to the far post.
Juve would have a couple more chances late on, but in the end, they couldn't get that all-important second goal as it finishes then one apiece. Let's welcome Gab Marcotti into the show, shall we, Gab? Juve took a lot of time to get going, didn't they? And in the end, they could only get that point.
Yeah, look, I mean, we saw the expected goals there. We saw that they hit the crossbar twice. They had the Morata goal disallowed. But I think what this shows you is that, you know, Pirlo could just stand there with a hard hat and a big men at work sign, because that's the reality of Juve right now. They're still learning what he wants of them. And look, in normal circumstances, if they had, you know, all the players that they're missing from Matthijs de Ligt to Cristiano Ronaldo to Bonucci, of course, came off injured, you know, then maybe you'd have moments of individual brilliance to tide you through as you continue this learning process. They don't have that right now. On top of that, I thought they were a tiny bit unlucky tonight, and Verona played really, really well. Let's give Verona credit as well. There's another team out there, you know, a team that finished in the top 10 last season that's trying to stop you from scoring as well. So I'm not going to view this as disastrous as no doubt some of my colleagues in the Italian media will tomorrow.
Well, the problem is, Gab, that once again I'm going to ask you, I'll say, well, what happened if Sarri got this result last season? And you'll go, it's completely different because Pirlo's come in, he's written a thesis, he's changing everything, so you've got to give him time. But this is Juventus, and this is Juventus in a moment where it's three consecutive draws. They've only won one game so far this season outright. It's not good enough.
Well, I mean, they also won in the Champions League, let's not forget. I think the big difference between this and Sarri, look, if Sarri had come in last season and said, oh, look, I'm going to play my version of football, I'm going to play Sarri ball, and y'all are going to be patient while we go and we learn how to do this, then fine. I could have dealt with it, especially if you had to play without Cristiano Ronaldo and three or four key players. But that's not what's happening here. He's playing without key players, and he's not playing badly. He's simply not gotten the result. So I don't think it's time to freak out and throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think what's very obvious, though, is that these pieces aren't fitting together, and it's a learning process for him as it is for the rest of the team. But by the way, can you give me some credit for telling you how he was going to put on Kulusevski and he was going to change the game or come close to changing the game?
Well, I will give you credit, but also on the same hand, I'll say, why on earth did he not start when he's clearly been one of the key players for Juve so far this season and made such an instant impact in this game?
That's a good question. I think a lot of people would have had Kulusevski starting.
Yeah, but it's Pirlo. You can't question Pirlo, Gab. It's fine. He knows everything. The thesis said it's all right to leave Kulusevski on the bench.
Well, look, Ramsey is more of a traditional in-the-hole player, traditional midfielder. So, you know, textbook would have said Ramsey is actually the more logical, conservative option there. But look, Dybala just came back. He played 10 minutes in the last 3 months, and now he's back. I think he'll contribute. I don't think, I mean, until we get a sense of what Pirlo's trying to do and how he's trying to do it, until he has the tools to do it, I don't think it's time to judge. These last two games, Crotone and Verona, they could have easily have been wins. And then all of a sudden, Pirlo would be a genius. I think the reality is somewhere in between. We don't have all the tools to judge him.
He's not going to be a genius if you beat Crotone and Verona. Ali, where do you stand on this?
Well, I told you last weekend that the expectation for Juventus should be better than to settle for a draw against Crotone, and it should be much higher than settling for a draw at home against Hellas Verona. And I think the most concerning part about it, if you're Juventus and Pirlo, and whoever else is evaluating Pirlo, even though this is a plan and there's a thesis and there's a lot of knowledge from Pirlo and not a lot of equity, you have to evaluate what you see out on the field. And what we saw from Juventus today is a team that, up until they got scored on, the intensity and the urgency wasn't nearly what it needed to be. Yes, unfortunately, if they hit the post, well, that's part of the game. And that's part of playing for 90 minutes, and that's part of creating opportunities and putting your chances away, and they did not whenever they had those chances. But you didn't really see Juventus park themselves in the attacking half up until Verona actually scored a goal. So where was that prior to Verona scoring? Where was that passing and movement? Where was the individual ability that you have from players in Juventus that are far superior to the Verona players? As good as Verona was today, this is still Juventus, and this is still Juventus playing at home. And so whether it's Pirlo, whether it's Sarri, whether whoever it is that's sitting on that bench, historically speaking, Juventus should be beating Verona. And certainly, when you come into this game, then you should see out on the field the evidence of how Juventus is superior to Verona. And you didn't see that up until Verona scored a goal. That right there, I think, is something to be concerned about.
So let's take a look then. AC Milan 1 point clear at the top of the table. Napoli and Sassuolo in second and third, respectively. Inter in fourth. Atalanta, of course, started the season so well. We were so excited about them, talking about maybe potential title contenders. That has somewhat melted over the last couple of games, losing against Napoli by 4-1. And then, of course, that defeat against Sampdoria, back-to-back defeats domestically. Gab Marcotti, that's where I want to start. What's happened to them?
Well, I mean, I think this weekend, they rotated a lot of players. We talked about how they have a much bigger, deeper squad this season, but there's still a drop-off between the starters and the reserves to the point where you can rotate fully. They got a huge game coming up against Ajax in midweek. Obviously, Ajax scoring 13 on Saturday, as you know. So I think that was the thinking. And while they sent on some regulars in the second half, it just wasn't enough to turn it around.
And what about Napoli, Gab? 100% all but for that game, of course, which is forfeited against Juventus.
Yeah, Gattuso still found a reason to go out and be angry after the game about how they shouldn't have gone a goal down. They could have done better. I thought Napoli actually looked pretty bright throughout, even when they were trailing in this. I love the two Insigne brothers head to head.
Yeah,
suggestions that one Insigne directed an insult at the mother of the other Insigne out of habit, and then realized that, hey, actually, what am I doing here?
How fantastic. And Inter get it done, Gab. Lukaku once again on the score sheet.
Yeah, they get it done. I think they were the better team over the 90 minutes. Lukaku keeps on rolling. Inter, by the way, very, very angry with UEFA over Ashraf Hakimi's false positive test, which of course kept them out of the Borussia Mönchengladbach game.
Ali, quick thought on what we're seeing from Lukaku. We talked about the fact that Morata-Lukaku kind of comparison. Obviously, fell out of favour at Manchester United, but has just done everything you'd want from him, surely.
Yeah, and I think the criticism that we've had of Lukaku since he's come to Inter is he's great in some of these matches, right? And then you need to see that in the bigger games for Inter where he has come up short. But let's put that to the side and let's just see the productivity of this player on a weekly basis. And what we see is that every time that Inter is winning a game and we show highlights and we talk about Inter, we have to start with Romelu Lukaku
yes.
and what he continues to do with his team in the final third. Hold up play, finishing, strength, change of pace. Everything that you want, he's given Inter. Now he just needs to take that into the perceived bigger games for Inter. And if he's able to deliver on that, then Inter is going to be in a better position to challenge for this title.
Gab, just sum up how much of a key figure he is for Conte's side.
Look, I think so much about Inter is based around the front two, about the way the front two dialogue and the way they dialogue with the wingbacks. And, you know, and I think Lukaku is really the hub of that, not just scoring goals, but providing goals, becoming an assist man this season. And he's done it with Lautaro. He's done it with when Alexis Sanchez has played. He's done it with a rotating cast of wingbacks. I think in the final third, Lukaku has definitely carried this Inter team against all oppositions. And when Inter come up short, it's generally not because of Lukaku, but it's because of issues elsewhere.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, in England, the big game today, Arsenal taking on Leicester City. Arsenal losing by 1-0. Jamie Vardy scoring the only goal of this game, coming off as a second-half substitute. Jamie Vardy now. Let's just see what this says. Jamie Vardy's favourite opponents. Oh, when it comes to Arsenal, he likes to score against them.
That's pretty good.
11 goals in 12 games. Let's welcome in, shall we, Frank Leboeuf and Don Hutchinson to the show. Don looks a bit short. Is he all right?
I'm sorry.
Stand up, Don.
Come on, sit up, Don. What's happening?
Oh, dear. Don, you're a little short, as Arsenal were, it seemed, with ideas today.
Twitter feed over the last half an hour, and Arsenal fans are actually criticising Aubameyang, who they were dancing in the streets that he signed his new contract a couple of weeks ago, and they're starting to criticise Arteta.
Oh, Don, stop. Don't stop reading social media, Don. That's not the tone of everyone. Why was this game so bad?
That was a bad game, granted. But, I mean, listen, I can't understand for the world why Lacazette's goal was disallowed early on in the first half. I mean, the only thing I can think of is maybe Xhaka was impeding the vision of Kasper Schmeichel. But when I seen the replay back and I seen it a number of times, the ball seemed to be in the back of the net before Kasper Schmeichel would have seen it. So that's not getting away from the bad performance, obviously. But I just think people are going well over the top on Arteta. He's been there 5 minutes and won two trophies.
Frank, let's talk about this disallowed goal. What was your take on it?
Well, I think it's an offside because Schmeichel has to move out from the guy who's doesn't allow him to see the ball. You know, I think it's Xhaka maybe, and he doesn't see anything at the beginning of the action. Maybe when Lacazette touches the ball, yes, he's out of the way of from Xhaka, but he has to move on the right in order to see the ball and to maybe try to get it. It's why Xhaka disturbs him, and I think it's why he's been declared offside.
Ali.
Yeah, it's offside for me. And I think Granit Xhaka, even standing there, is participating in the play, and he is indeed blocking Kasper Schmeichel. I don't quite know if this is what social media is saying or not, but I'm sure that Don is going to confirm or deny whether that's the case.
Don, the boys say you're talking nonsense.
Ali, if we can see that back again, where Kasper Schmeichel's looking when Lacazette flicks it on, Xhaka is not in his eye line. Kasper Schmeichel's looking one way, and Xhaka seems to be the left of Kasper Schmeichel. And I don't buy where there's an offside or where he's impeding his vision.
Well, what about the part in which Kasper Schmeichel cannot dive to his left because Granit Xhaka is right there? And so therefore, impeding the goalkeeper from making a save, or at least making an attempt to make the save.
No, but if you look at it again, I'm pretty sure Granit Xhaka is to the left-hand side of Kasper Schmeichel and Aubameyang heads the ball to his right-hand side. So therefore, he's looking that way and Xhaka's that side, so he's not impeding his vision.
Yeah, but if he dives to the left, he dives right into Granit Xhaka, doesn't he?
I disagree, honestly. I disagree. I thought it was harsh. The second angle is the best angle when we see it again.
Don, what about social? What is social media telling us, Don? That's what we need to know.
Hang on, look at this.
If he dives to the left, he dives onto Granit Xhaka.
Right, take it back and put a pause on when it hits Lacazette.
Hey, all right, director, you do whatever you want, Don. Director, producer, talent, do whatever you want.
That's where you take the offside from, when it hits Lacazette's head, not beforehand. After.
Frank, there were very few moments of any sort of quality in this game. The only real one, of course, came with the Vardy goal.
Yes, exactly. And I was really looking forward to seeing Vardy coming in because the first half of Leicester was really appalling. I mean, they play away from home. They were very good and they worked well. Defensively, very good. But I was very frustrated by the offensive aspect of Brendan Rodgers' tactic. But as soon as, they started pretty well the second half, but as soon as Verdi came, you felt something, everybody felt something that was about to happen. And you know that the pace that Vardy can bring, the feeling that he has on running behind the defense was clearly something was gonna bring something special. And he did, it scored a goal. And it's absolutely fantastic for Leicester to win away from home, especially against the Gunners. I think it didn't happen since 1973.
Oh, that's all right. Well. That's when you bought that top, I think, Frank. meanwhile, Southampton...
Exactly.
Southampton taking on Everton. Everton coming into this game unbeaten. Southampton with a 2-0 victory. Let's start off, shall we, with the no call regarding the penalty, Frank, because I know you felt Everton should have had one.
Yes, I have to remember now because I watched so many games. I've got Ramos on Madrid. No. What happened?
That's all right, Frank. Goodness
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, well, James gets pushed over in the box.
Good preparation, Frank. Got a way to be on top of it, buddy.
Oh, no, but it's true. Oh, yeah. That's, for me, it's a penalty. I know Don will say it's not a penalty, but are you allowed to push a player like that? Are you really? I know in England it's different. Yes, of course not, because you don't play the same football that we play everywhere around the world, where pushing a player is not allowed by any rules. And it's not because he's playing in England that you can do whatever you want. That's the rule. It's clearly, Adams is clearly pushing James Rodriguez. Therefore, there is a clear penalty.
I think if we start giving penalties for that, we are getting 20 penalties every single game.
Oh, 20.
So is there a penalty in Real Madrid against Barcelona or Ramos?
We'll talk about that later.
Why is Longley pulling Ramos' shirt?
Oh, my goodness gracious me. This is like going on YouTube. Go down all these different rabbit holes. I don't care about Barcelona, Real Madrid for this moment.
We are talking about penalties around the world.
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. I think that James is also looking for that contact, and therefore, once he feels the little nudge, I'll call it a nudge, and I won't go as far as to call it a push, he then decides to go down.
Are you English, Ali?
I am not English.
Right, okay.
Not French.
Right.
I'm probably closer to James than any of these guys, and still not giving him a penalty. Although I would have done the same thing as James. I would have gone down as well.
At this stage, of course, Southampton were already 2-0 up. Don, Everton were terrible in this game.
Yeah, they didn't play well, Dan. It was a real bad performance. You know, he'd lost a couple of players. He lost Richarlison through suspension. He'd lost Andre Gomes through injury. It was just really disjointed. It wasn't like them. Calvert-Lewin was quiet in the game. Defensively, they weren't great neither. Michael Keane got the build-up before the game, and he's been playing really well, just going through what he's been doing without any sort of catching any headlines, just going about his business. But I just think they lacked any sort of spark. They looked a bit leggy today, I thought.
Digne, of course, sent off in the second half. Carlo Ancelotti, Don, saying that they will appeal that. He felt everything that had been going on after the Liverpool game contributed to the fact that the referee was quick to send him off.
No, I don't buy that from Carlo Ancelotti. I don't think the referees have took that into account from last week. Where I think he's harsh, he's got his hands in the air, and it looks appalling, by the way. It does look really bad, but I think he's guilty, Digne, of trying to track... I think it was Kyle Walker-Peters back, and then once he accidentally trods on the back of his foot, and once you hit someone on the Achilles, it's a painful area to catch someone on, and then he was sort of stuck on the back of the Achilles, and it seemed to go on for a good couple of seconds. I think it looks worse in slow motion. I still think it's a yellow card. I don't think it's a red.
Let's see if Frank remembers it. Frank?
Oh my God.
What's he going to say?
Are we talking about rugby or we're talking about football? Come on. It's because you have your hands up. Oh, you didn't do it on purpose, so there is nothing. He almost killed him, you know, with the Achilles and broke his ankle. Nothing. No, play on. It's England, for God's sake. Play on. No problem. Can break his leg as long as you don't do it on purpose. No problem, man. Are you kidding me or what? Yeah, no, no.
But first,
I want to say... Accidental, yeah, I break your leg accidentally, so there is no foul, no problem. I didn't do it on purpose, so go to the hospital, good luck. Come on, Don, you don't have the excuses for everything. His stamps on his Achilles tendon for like three, four seconds, and he can't break his ankle, and you say, oh, he didn't do it on purpose. And he tried to do it first. He misses it. He goes back, put his right foot on him, and you say he doesn't do it on purpose?
I'm going
against the French guy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, it's a replay. For 5 seconds. But, yeah, no, nothing to say about that. You know, I mean, for me, it's a clear. So, yeah, you know, we understand since Van Dijk, and the accident of Pickford and Van Dijk, there is nothing anymore in England. No, you can break knees, you can break ankles, and there is nothing. Now, come on. Yeah, we talk about football. Well, by the way, big credit to Southampton. The Saints, they did a hell of a game. Everton weren't good, but the Saints, and they played well against Chelsea, they played very well today, and they really, really enjoyed watching the game. Really enjoy watching the game because I discovered many good players, talented players, and a real squad, a real team, sorry.
Red card?
I was leaning towards Don, right? And then Don started making the argument as to why it wasn't
the hands.
It wasn't a red card, right? But then the way he describes it, and then he hung on his ankle for a few seconds after that, and he looks terrible. It really looks horrible. And then I thought to myself, well, wait a second. He's actually convincing me against whatever Don is saying. So once again, Don the lawyer argues against himself. I think it's a red card.
Really?
Yeah.
You change your mind?
Honestly, the more you see it, the worse it looks. And initially, I would have said yellow card, but the more you see it, I just think he just hangs on that ankle way too long, and he is on top of it. He could have caused a lot of damage had that ankle been planted on the ground.
Well, Everton will appeal. Of course, it wasn't the only controversial decision of the weekend in the big match between Manchester United and Chelsea. Not a lot happened. It was goalless. The big talking point, though, coming just before half-time, where Chelsea felt they should have had a penalty. Harry Maguire, just with a little bit of a headlock.
What?
On Azpilicueta.
Is that allowed?
Frank, what do you think?
Of course there is a penalty. It's what we call wrestling. You just jump, you hold the guy, you jump on him, and you kick him away. I don't know. I'm waiting for Don to tell me if there is a penalty or not. But I'm pretty sure it's not a penalty for
Frank,
Don.
There was nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Just play on. No, that was a penalty.
You stand for your rights.
No, that was a definite penalty.
Just crazy, yeah. Clear penalty.
What's crazier is the fact that people watching this replay and decision makers as part of the VAR system, that they look at it and they go, yeah, nothing to see here, people. Let's go. Yes. Come on now.
Moving on.
No worries. I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. Apparently holding a headlock is allowed in the game. How do you see that replay and not say, excuse me, referee, sir, we need to take a look at this? Apparently not. If only we had a system in place that could address this very issue.
Was it clear and obvious, though?
The threshold. Right. Was it break through the threshold? The high bar.
Let's take a look, shall we, at the Premier League table. And if you predicted this 20 at this stage, congratulations. Everton, Liverpool top, Aston Villa in third, despite that defeat against Leeds. Leicester up to fourth after that win against Arsenal. Leeds in fifth, Saints sixth, Crystal Palace seventh. Chelsea and Arsenal, meanwhile, make up 9 and 10. You go to the other end. Spurs are in 11th. They've still yet to play, of course. You've got City in 13th. Uh-oh. Manchester United Uh-oh. In 15th.
Uh-oh.
Dawn, what's going on with the Premier League? It's drunk.
Oh, it's absolutely nuts. It's on steroids. You can't read anything. I mean, Man City. I mean, I fear for Man City. I just think they were invincible over the last couple of seasons, where they were just smashing teams by 6, 7s and 8s. I don't see it anymore. I think teams don't fear them. I think teams are looking at Man City, even with the new signings, I think they're still seeing that they're vulnerable and they're fragile. It's incredible.
Frank, what's going on?
Well, I think to find an excuse is difficult, but maybe the pandemic and the restart coming too early, you know, after the end of the end of the Championship and then the Premier League, the fact that players couldn't prepare properly is for maybe the clubs who are involved in European Cup, you know, more difficult to show their supremacy. Liverpool can do it, but we can see that teams who are not involved are physically better than the others. The others are struggling.
So as I mentioned, Spurs are in action on Monday. They're away against Burnley and they'll go into that tie as favourites. Elsewhere, plenty of reaction, of course. A controversial win for Real Madrid in El Clasico over Barcelona. Is that Koeman explodes?
That's correct. Good job, Dan. I'm proud of you.
This one, a robbery.
That's right. Man, Dan, you've really come
up. And this one,
up.
I would say no public, but there is VAR.
Aha, all right.
VAR, of course, very much playing a part in the Sergio Ramos penalty that was awarded. Frank, was it a pen for you?
For me, it's not a penalty because Ramos pushes Langlet before, and then Langlet pulls Ramos' shirt. But look, to have the space, Ramos pushes Langlet, and it's a reaction. Look at him pushing him, and then putting his shirt. And Ramos exaggerating the movement. Look, he falls without being pulled anymore. So it's not a penalty for me. It's not a penalty.
Has he got a point, the push before the pull?
No, he doesn't have a point. No, he doesn't have a point. Look. Let's play a game of yes or no, Frank. Yes or no.
Okay, Frank. Here we go. Yeah. That's exciting. Yeah, everyone sit down, get ready.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right. Does Clement Lenglet get a hold of Sergio Ramos's jersey? Yes or no?
Can you repeat, please?
No! No! This is classic. Does Clement Lenglet get a hold of Sergio Ramos's jersey? Yes or no?
Yes, after
Yes or no. Hey, yes or no.
Yes.
Does he maintain a hold of that jersey through the whole sequence of play? Yes or no?
No.
What do you mean, no?
No. Well, look, I lost my beautiful...
Your TV screen doesn't even agree with you.
Yeah, you see, everything is going dark right now.
Has Frank got a point, though? There is a push. Is that not a foul first?
No, here's what I would say. Initially, Clement Lenglet loses Sergio Ramos. And he's now, as I told you yesterday, he's now panicking because he sees that he loses the flight of the ball. And he knows that Sergio Ramos is behind him, but he's lost him. And in order to find him, what does he do? He goes and grabs the jersey. And as the ball is now coming towards Sergio Ramos, Clement Lenglet knows that the only way he can maintain contact with Sergio Ramos is to pull the jersey. And so my last yes or no question to Frank is, does the pulling of the jersey impede for Sergio Ramos to actually make a play on the ball? Yes or no?
No, because he doesn't hold the shirt when the ball is on Ramos. And the thing, for me, it's not the point. The point is...
What is the point
Ramos
then?
Pushed... The point is Ramos first pushed Lenglet to have space. And then Lenglet, feeling unbalanced, pulled the shirt of Ramos, feeling that if he carries on, it's going to be a penalty against him. So leaves the shirt of Ramos when the ball comes. And then Ramos falls.
So
without being pushed.
So he did. So he pulled the jersey. So he pulled the jersey.
Of course. Everybody saw that.
And is pulling the jersey allowed in the game? And maintaining that pull of the jersey through the sequence.
No, but pushing somebody is not allowed in the game.
But that's not what we're discussing. We're not discussing that because what was reviewed was the pull of the jersey. That was what was reviewed.
Okay. So if you want to see something, it's like, I don't know, what can I say, you know? It's like if I punch you in the face and you don't want to see it, but you punch me in the face and the ref only sees you punching me in the face and say, oh, no, Ali Moreno, red card because you punched me Stolobov. Yeah, he punched me before, but it doesn't count because I don't want to see that.
Don?
He has to see that.
Don, many people want to punch you in the face. What do you think?
That is brilliant. To be honest, I think both the guys have got a point. What I would say is if VAR is going to be looking at that whole situation, because I think Frank's right. I think there is a little push from Sergio Ramos, but the push is, in my opinion, it's minimal. It's a small little push, Frank. Don't get too excited. It's a small little push. And then the shirt pull from Lenglet, when the VAR looks at that whole package, they will say minimal push, massive shirt pull, penalty.
Okay, and what that means for La Liga is that the defending champions are back on top. Oh, no, they're not, because Real Sociedad won today. Real Madrid then dropped a second after victory for La Real. Barcelona not even in the top 10 at the moment.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Just a reminder, Bayer Leverkusen against Augsburg. That game is live tomorrow on ESPN Plus at 3:30 Eastern. Also, tomorrow live on Plus, what a big game this is. Milan taking on Roma. Milan, of course, with the opportunity to stretch their lead at the top of the table after the results very much kind of went their way, didn't they? As we welcome in Gab Marcotti back to the conversation. Gab, you look at Milan, they've certainly got the momentum, haven't they, going into this game?
They do. I think both these teams, of course, playing on Thursday night in the Europa League. You wonder if that's going to affect them. Ibrahimovic, I think it's going to be, what, three starts in a row for him. I think in terms of momentum, you wonder probably Milan's freshness, the fact that they've got younger, quicker players. You kind of feel that maybe Ibrahimovic aside, of course, that Fonseca is going to have to game plan for that. And interested to see how he does that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Ali, to Gab, and to Dawn as well. If you want more, though, from Frank LaBeouf and that terrible shirt, be sure to stay tuned with us. He's here with me, Ali, to answer some of your questions on Extra Time. Stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali Moreno with us, as is Frank LaBeouf. Frankie, what are you wearing?
It's a rugby shirt.
It's a rugby shirt.
Yeah.
And it's from yesterday. And that's the first batch that we had with the all-national team. So I've paid some respect to friends, Mr. English guy. Please.
I would say, I understand what you're saying, pay some respect, but you've worn a couple of shirts similar to that, mm-hmm. So I would suggest that's a freebie.
No, it's a sponsor. So it costs them lots of money.
There it is.
Pay some respect. Listen to it. Oh my God.
He was about to sing La Marseillaise, yeah. Right there. And then all of a sudden, it's a sponsor.
Yes.
Right, let's get on with this. Frank, what happened to James today? Looked all sorts of lost.
Well, he's just a human being, so you have to understand that at some point, you know, he will have he needs a second breath, you know, as we say, you know, during the game, where sometimes, you know, you're good for 15 minutes and then you need a second breath to go back to the rhythm that you had. He had wonderful games. He brought so much to Everton. So you have to allow him to maybe being not that good, you know, today, maybe hoping that it's just one not very good game and he's going to go back to his best the next game. But yeah, you sometimes have to understand that you just facing human beings and not only robots.
Yes, human beings, not robots.
That's good. That's
sponsored
good.
Human beings,
yes,
in some ways.
Yes, and not robots.
Anyone ever sponsored you to wear anything, Andy?
Yes.
Yes?
Well, but those days have now come to an end. But I'm here.
That's it.
I'm open. Anything you want to bring, just let me know.
You're easy.
We'll sort it out.
Ali, since Hazard is back in the squad for Real Madrid, who should Zidane give chances to? Hazard, an experienced player with brilliant finishing, or Vinicius Jr., who's already scored thrice? Ooh, I like the word thrice.
Okay. First, I have to see real evidence that Eden Hazard is ready to go. Mm-hmm. And not only is he ready to go, but that he can be productive consistently. And I'm sure that that's going to take some time, because I'm sure, given his injury-prone history with Real Madrid, they're going to sort of ease him in into certain things and then see whether he can be the player that they expected to have a year ago.
Frank, years ago, we used to say referees had tough jobs because they only saw incidents once. Now, even with VAR, they're still making major errors like the Pickford challenge and Maguire on Azpilicueta. Why can't they see the obvious decisions straight away?
Well, football is getting faster and faster, so you can, when you're a referee, make a mistake. I can excuse the referees who are on the field, the linesman and the main referee. I don't have any excuse for the people in the VAR, because they can see the videos, they can even replay, reverse it, see it again, play it slowly. So they have no excuses, that's for sure. But they should talk more to the main referees, the referees on the field, to go to see the monitor that they have around the pitch, and they will make for sure less errors.
Do you think, Ali, Solskjaer should be criticised for not giving Van de Beek any playing time? Donny is far better than most of the starters, like Mata and James against Chelsea, but yet he's still on the bench every week. Unacceptable.
Ooh.
Well, I think it says a lot about Donny van de Beek and what Solskjaer thinks of him as a player when you see Juan Mata out there playing ahead of him. I think it sends a clear message to everybody that, yeah, I prefer that guy who can barely move to this guy who we just brought in. It's not a good start for his life in Manchester United for Donny van de Beek. And if he continues to go in this direction, it's going to be a short life in Manchester United for Donny van de Beek. It just doesn't seem like, if indeed you're going to pick a player to play in front of you for Manchester United and you say, Juan Mata ahead of me, you would have said, then why am I doing? What am I doing here?
Mm.
It should, at this point in his career, Juan Mata should not be playing ahead of Donny van de Beek.
I was watching a video of Pogba translating directions from Ollie to Cavani yesterday, Frank. Did you have to translate for a coach to a teammate? Have you ever told a teammate something completely opposite of what the coach said as a joke?
No, but it happened to me when Ranieri signed for Chelsea, and he said to Marcel Desailly to come to translate for me because he was only speaking Italian. And so he said something to Marcel in Italian, and Marcel said, please don't laugh and stay calm after what I'm going about to say. I said, okay. Well, he just said that if you want to be a good player, you have to make sure you're going to listen to him. And it was in 2001. Well, I was already a World Cup winner, a European Championship winner, then I won 9 trophies with Chelsea and France, and he won nothing. So I kept my calm, and I said, well, you can tell him where he can go. That was the end of it.
Ali, did you do some translating in your day?
I did. And I took some creative liberties at times, but yeah, I did.
So the coach would tell you to tell the player, right.
And I would take the message of the coach.
Would you filter that into Ali,
and then add a little spice to it, so right, that we could have the real communication that needed to happen?
Right.
Sometimes what the coach tells you, right, you need to give it a different twist, so that players that come from different cultures,
right,
understand the real message, not the verbatim message, but the actual message that I think overall picture that you need to get.
For Monsieur Leboeuf, if you could play in a back four with your favourite defenders ever, who would you pick to play with and why? Desailly aside, because obviously he would be your first pick.
If I'm not allowed to play with Desailly, I would play Sergio Ramos. I will keep Thuram on the right side and Lizarazu on the left side from the national team.
Not bad, but you think Sergio Ramos is better than Desailly?
No, just say that I cannot take Desailly, is what I understood. So I don't take Desailly and I take Ramos. You, I don't know. I don't know what you have right now, You don't like me anymore. You try to trick me, I don't like that.
Ali, I've never seen Benzema dive or even sell a foul by exaggeration. Is it good or bad?
Well, I am sure, without having proof in my hands, I am sure that Karim Benzema at some point in his life has embellished and or simulated a foul. It is part of being an attacking player, and it's part of sometimes of your responsibility to try to draw fouls in dangerous areas. And I'm sure that Karim Benzema has done it.
I don't even have to see whether he's done it or not. I'm sure he has.
Frank, how much does the motivation for playing for your national team help in your performance for your club team?
Well, I guess it brings the... It brings something special because you know that if you're good with your club, the coach of the national team will carry on asking you to come with the national team. So of course it's a motivation. It's the for me the grail to play for the national team. But in order to do so, you have to be good with your club in a domestic championship. So of course it's a huge motivation.
How much were Venezuela aware of you in MLS?
Initially, not very much, because even though I grew up in Venezuela, as I came to college in the United States, they sort of lost track of what I had been doing as a player. Mm-hmm. Then I sort of get into Major League Soccer, and they follow what I was doing, but I'm not sure that they took the league very seriously. And then they started calling me in, and I did well with the national team, and that sort of kind of opened the path for me to continue to come to the national team. And as for the question itself, I would say that there is no contract in place for the national team. The motivation to go play for the national team is because it is the highest honor that you can achieve as a player representing your country. And so if indeed it means that you're going to be with the national team because you're playing with your club, that's a pathway. And that is indeed how, at least in my case, that is indeed how I forced myself and my way into the national team, was because even though they may not have been aware of me, I was scoring goals here. And so therefore they said, well, we'll give it a go and see what this guy's got to offer. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But that opened up the door. And then it was up to me to take the advantage of the opportunity once I got into the national team stage.
Final question. Frank, what did you make of Ajax running up the score against Venlo? Of course, it was 13-0, an Eredivisie record. As a coach or player, would you have throttled your back? Excuse me.
Okay.
I'm fine. It's okay. Don't panic.
All right. Okay.
As a coach and or player, would you have throttled back some and stopped attacking or pressing? I'd rather my opponent keep playing hard, which is more respectful than just keeping possession and wasting time.
I play with the national team, we play against Azerbaijan, we won 10-0. And I think for me, the only way to respect a club you're going to play against or a national team you're going to play against is to play for the 90 minutes at your maximum. If you keep the ball, it can show that you tease them, that you don't respect them, that you consider that you are too strong for them. So therefore, you don't play your game and you don't respect them. So you still have to hammer them and win 10 or 13-0 like it happened for Ajax. You have to do it and you have to show respect to the opponent.
Do you have to do it, Ali?
Look, it's professional sports. It's not orange slices and juice boxes. Mm. So it is not the responsibility of Ajax to pass the ball around and waste time. It is the responsibility of Venlo to be able to defend. And if you give up 13 goals, you have to be really, and I mean really, really bad.
The coach said that he hoped that they would stop scoring.
Oh, well, no, that's not the way to go about it, let me tell you.
Hope and prayers.
And you know, sometimes it really, honestly, even at the youth level, it bothers me when coaches take the approach, and when I was a younger player as well, it bothered me when they asked us to, no, let's just keep the ball. I'm like, no, I want to keep scoring. Mm. I prepare myself to score today. I prepare myself to win today.
My kid's winning 8-0.
I don't care about your kids.
I don't
juice want boxes and orange slices, whatever. If they're out there to play.
No, what do these kids gain if you're 8-0 up? My kid's 9. What do you gain 8-0 up? No, making the other kids cry.
Yeah, but the other kids realize that maybe the game is not for them. Okay?
That doesn't help.
Maybe they go and play something else. Maybe they go and play something else. Okay? You know what? That way they don't make it all the way to BBB Venlo and get destroyed
13-0.
I don't care. If you're there to play, you're there to compete. If you don't want it, I don't care. Hey, you step on the field with me, I want to win. And I hope that that's the personality and that's the spirit of kids out there that want to win, want to play, want to be the very best of themselves. If that means winning 10-0, so be it. And if you don't like it, I don't care.
Oh, I hope you can coach my kid one day.
He's going to get pushed. We're going to squeeze the very best out of him.
He'll be crying within 2 seconds.
That too.
Like his daddy. That is it. ESPN FC is back tomorrow. Who knows who Frank will be sponsored with by then?
Hey.
Be sure to join us.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.